Ocean Robbins is an amazing health pioneer. His father wrote the book Diet for a New America. He and his dad together got together and started the Food Revolution Network about 5 or 6 years ago. They do an annual conference, and they're reaching hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people worldwide with the message of whole foods, safe foods, and they're just the most amazing people. I love them dearly. And here's Ocean Robbins.
Well, Yay! Hooray! And I'm so happy to be with you.
So we have an audience here, and I would say, 75% health practitioners of some sort, doctors, nurses, therapists, health coaches, et cetera, fitness trainers, and then about 20-25% of the audience is people who came because they're empowered to take charge of their health and they wanted to learn more.
Wonderful. And just to be clear, how long would you like me to speak for, Rita Marie?
We have until 3:30 our time, which is 1:30 your time.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, then I'll make it short and sweet.
Yes. Thank
you for being here. As I think we all know, we live in a culture where food has become in many ways toxified. Our food supply is packed full of hormones and antibiotics and added sugars and chemicals with names we can't pronounce and stripped of its fiber and its minerals. And the average physician, as you also probably know, gets less than 19 hours of education in nutrition in all their years of medical school. So we have a food industry that for the most part acts as if your health didn't matter. And we have a health industry that for the most part acts as if your food didn't matter. And in this context, I think it is absolutely essential for any human being who wants to thrive to take matters into our own hands. And that's why you're here, not just on behalf of yourself, but ultimately on behalf of your community. Whether you are a health practitioner or not, everything you learn today, everything you are absorbing and applying isn't just for you. You do so on behalf of your community, your family, your friends, your web of relationships. And in that way, I think we are all everyday revolutionaries. Because unfortunately, in a toxic food culture, you actually have to be a revolutionary to eat real food. Because the mainstream has become full of junk. And in that context, then, when you are a revolutionary, you help to shift the course of history. And that's what I find so exciting about the food revolution, because food's super personal. I mean, what you eat literally becomes you. It's so intimate. It's so unique to every human body. And it's also very political. What you eat has ripple effects on your family, on your social ecosystem, on your workplace, on everybody who sees you eating. And then in that process, whatever you're doing becomes a little more socially acceptable. And it's also very political in the sense that it changes the food world. I was just speaking moments ago with one of the leaders in West Africa working for more ethical cocoa production. There are millions of children right now who are working in the cocoa industry. The average income for cocoa farmers is about 78 cents per farmer per day. So there are dire rates of poverty. And 2/3 of the world's cocoa comes from these conditions in West Africa. So we're looking at how when you choose to buy fair trade or organic, you're actually contributing not only to perhaps a healthier and more delicious product for you, but you're also sending out ripples. You're supporting a different kind of farming system where we say that, hey, people growing our food should be paid enough to feed their own families and should have a decent quality of life. And I think we can see the same with animal production, that when we choose to support the factory farming system, which is where 96% or more of our meat, dairy, and eggs come from, then we are essentially casting a vote to say that animals, it's okay with us, that animals are treated in deplorable ways. And, you know, chickens can never lift a single wing because they're in such packed quarters and they have their beaks cut off so they can't peck each other to death when they go insane. But as a human being of conscience, I know that you don't want to support that kind of a system. And I want to raise so that we're constantly aware of it, that there are social and ethical and sustainability impacts to the food choices we make. And the beautiful thing about the food revolution is that what's best for your own health and for the health of your patients and the people who depend on you also happens to be best for the health of our planet. that the same farming system that saturates our farms and our farm workers with pesticides, the same farming system that exploits the supply chain and exploits animals for bottom line profits, is also the farming system that creates products that are toxic to human health. And by the same token, farming systems that are more natural and sustainable and organic produce a better quality of product, more vitamins, more minerals, less pesticide exposure, less exposure to antibiotics and hormones, and ultimately healthier bodies for us. And I think it is liberatory and thrilling, frankly, that we discover with food the opportunity to bring our lives into integrity with our values, with our dreams, with our conscience. And that's the opportunity and the invitation I want to invite all of you to step into, that as you help people become healthier and as you seek to bring your own health forward with your nutritional choices, I want to invite you to identify as a revolutionary, as a change agent, as a participant in this bold, radical, brilliant awakening that's taking place in the world right now, as we recognize that food is not just a commodity, it's also a community. It's also a web of relationships. It's also an opportunity to become active participants in something beautiful, in a food system that is nourishing to our bodies, that is sustainable for our planet, that is ethical to everybody in the supply chain. And that is our mandate, that is our invitation, that is our call to action, I think, as humans of conscience in these times.
Wow.
So I want to tell you a little bit about my own family story and how we all fit into this revolutionary journey. And Rita Marie, were you wanting to jump in with something first?
No, I'm good. I just heard some woos, so I wanted to make sure that if we want to give him a big round of applause for that. If you agree. Yes, we all agree, right?
Yeah, and you may be able to tell that I'm kind of a little passionate about this stuff. The story actually goes back a couple generations. My grandpa founded an ice cream company. You may have heard of it. It's called Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors. And my dad, John, grew up with an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool in the backyard and 31 flavors of ice cream in the freezer. And he was groomed from early childhood to one day join in running the family company. But when he was in his early 20s, he was offered that chance and he said no. And he walked away from this path that was practically paved with gold and ice cream to, as we jokingly say in our family, follow his own rocky road. Now, he was motivated in part by his concern about the health of people. And in fact, his own uncle, Bert Baskin, my grandpa's brother-in-law and business partner, was at the time dying of heart disease. My dad's uncle, Bert, was a very big man. He had eaten an abundant amount of the family product. He was one of the most successful entrepreneurs in American history. He had a family he loved, but he lost his life at the age of 54. And my dad took a look at that and said, I don't want to spend my life selling a product that's going to contribute to more people losing their lives, more kids like my dad's cousins losing their parents prematurely. And now, he knew very well, as we know today, an ice cream cone's not going to kill anyone. But at the same time, he also knew that the more ice cream people eat, the more likely they are to have the kind of health outcomes that his own uncle had suffered. So he made a choice for his conscience and he walked away from any access to or dependence on the family wealth. And he moved with my mom to a little island off the coast of Canada where they built a one-room log cabin and grew most of their own food and practiced yoga and meditation for several hours a day and named their kid Ocean, which of course is me. Some years later, my dad wound up, well, just a little anecdote. That my parents say that they almost named me kale. They were big on kale at the time. They were growing it to keep them alive through the winter and the Canadian winter. And it was the one vegetable that could survive the snow where they lived. And so I've always said that I'm very happy that they took the conservative route. So some years later, my dad ended up becoming a best-selling author, writing about food and health. He wrote Diet for New America and many other bestsellers and inspired millions of people to look at their food choices as a chance to make a difference in the world. And the media had a lot of fun with the story. They called him the rebel without a cone, and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous had him on there and called him the prophet of nonprofit. As fate would have it, one of his readers ended up being my grandpa, Irvin Robbins was my grandpa. And he, in his early 70s, he was suffering from serious heart problems and diabetes and weight issues. And his doctors told him he didn't have long to live and he'd need to be on these medications for the rest of his life, which he hated. And then they said, but if you really want to get better, there is a book you should read. And they handed him a copy of my dad's book, Diet for a New America. This was 1989. My grandpa, shockingly enough, read the book. And he made changes in his life. He gave up ice cream. He gave up sugar. He cut way down on his meat consumption. He started eating a lot more vegetables. And he was not a health foodie kind of guy, but he implemented this stuff and he got results. The kind of results that are predictable when people make these kinds of changes. He lost 30 pounds. He got off all of his diabetes and blood pressure medications. And his golf game improved by 7 strokes. My grandpa wound up having 19 more healthy years. And when his time finally came, 19 years later, my dad and I were with him in the hospital and he was reminiscing. And he said to my dad, you know, when you left Baskin-Robbins, I'll be honest, I thought you were crazy. But thank God some of us have lived long enough to learn a few new things. And he said, and time has proved you were right. And I'm so glad you followed your own star. And then he looked at me and he said, I'm so glad that you're carrying this on. And I want you to know that I'm proud of you. Now, can you imagine how much courage it takes for a man who has manufactured and sold that much ice cream to even acknowledge there's a connection between diet and health, much less to change his diet, much less to give up ice cream? And here he is reaping the benefits. His own brother-in-law died at age 54. And here he is living into his 90s, a good, long, healthy life, because he had the courage to open his eyes and open his mind and make a change. And to be honest with you, I'm more proud of him for that than for all his business accomplishments, mm-hmm. because it's about health. Yeah. And, you know, so we've seen in our family what can happen when we follow the standard American diet. And I never even got to know my dad's Uncle Bert because he died before I was born. But we've also seen what can happen when we make a change and the results that predictably ensue. And so this is part of what fuels me and inspires me and drives me forward. I love that I get to be a participant in this revolution. I get love that I get to wake up every day and contribute to more people enjoying the health that they deserve. You know, the human body is so resilient. Less than a month ago, I had shoulder surgery to repair some rotator cuff compaction. And it was minor surgery, but it was still my first surgery of my life. And, you know, I was struck as I was recovering by the fact that my body knew what to do.
Yeah.
Like every cell in my body knew how to interact beautifully to recover from a surgery that certainly hadn't been invented at the time that my DNA came into being, and or was the precursors to it came into being. So each of us comes from a long chain of human beings that have the ability to respond resiliently to challenge and crisis, whether it's responding to bacteria that modern science doesn't even have names for, whether it's learning how to interact with and create a healthy microbiome, whether it's learning how to heal from injury, whether it's knowing how to respond to every age and stage of life. Our bodies are exquisitely designed to function brilliantly and creatively and resourcefully. They can take a tremendous amount of abuse and still respond and keep turning the other cheek, so to speak, and keep giving back. And everybody has its limits. There is a limit to how much abuse the body can take before it starts to wear down. And so we all know that eventually we're going to die, right? Life is a terminal condition. But along the way, how are we going to live? And how fully will we live? And how will we inhabit our days? And how much joy and pleasure can we take in that? I'm actually more interested in adding life to my years than years to my life, because I want to thrive and love every day that I inhabit. At the same time, it's not one or the other. We know that when we take steps towards more abundant health, we do extend, we bend the curve in our favor. And so that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what lights me up. And I hope I'm sharing some of that light with you today.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've been very inspired by you and your family, not just, you know, by having read your dad's book back in 1987, about a year or two after I changed my diet, and it just reinforced all the reasons and gave me more reasons to do what I was doing. And I would love for us to be able to support you. How could we support you? And I'd love you to tell about your new thing, your new club, whatever it's called, and how we can support you at Food Revolution.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, you support us by being a participant in the Food Revolution. I mean, truly. Every time you encourage people to, and you advocate for, and you eat, you know, real food instead of processed junk, you're supporting us because this is what we're up to, right? So thank you for that. And keep getting informed and keep spreading the word and keep recognizing that food isn't an afterthought to health. It's the absolute foundation of it. And you know that. And that's why you're here, and that's why you're learning. And I just want to celebrate you and congratulate you and appreciate you. In terms of Food Revolution Network, I mean, the big thing on the horizon for me right now is that I've got a book coming out February 5th called 31 Day Food Revolution, Heal Your Body, Feel Great, and Transform Your World. And yeah, the presupposition is that, you know, 31 steps towards health can bring you more pleasure than 31 flavors of ice cream. And, you know, so every chapter is another, ends with three action steps you can take to implement what you're learning. And it kind of takes people on a journey. For how to apply the food revolution in their lives. And part one focuses on detoxification and getting rid of all the bad stuff. And part two focuses on nourish. It's like all how to bring in and really harvest the good stuff in your life. Part three is gather. It's building your community, your tribe, your web of social relationships to support you when times get tough, to inspire you, to create a new normal in your ecosystem. Yeah. Because we all know that we're heavily impacted by the people around us, and we also heavily impact them. So my goal is to look at how we can be conscious about that so we can leverage social connectivity for our benefit and the benefit of those we care about. And then part four is transform. And that's where we focus on how we be agents of change and looking at the massive global impacts of our food choices and how if you want to think globally and act locally, your diet is the first place to start. So I'm super excited about this book and what it can bring and what it can do and how it can galvanize the revolution. And so love to invite you all. As it, I mean, you can actually pre-order copies on Amazon now.
Oh, now.
And we're also, you can. Yay. And we also, if you go to 31dayfoodrevolution.com, you can go ahead and learn about it a little bit and, you know, get a copy through there if you want. But I would love to encourage you all to actually stock it in your offices and share it with your patients and so forth, because I think it's a great resource. And it's really the kind of book that's meant to be a gift or to be shared. I've written it intentionally to reach a broad range of eaters. So those of you who are really sophisticated will learn a lot. There's, you know, many hundreds of citations to medical studies, and I'm really giving that solid data, but it's also really big tent, broadly accessible to the lay public. So anybody can jump in and learn and grow and engage and feel welcomed. And, you know, my approach is predominantly plant-based, and I'm into a big tent. So it's like, I'm not pointing to specific spot on the field saying everyone must be vegan to be a part of this food revolution. I'm saying let's eat more whole plant foods and less animal products. Let's eat more real food, less processed junk. The direction is clear, and where you land on that field is really a product of many factors: your ethics and sensibilities, your environment, your health history, your metabolism. And I look at how you can learn about those things and find out what's right for you so that you can make wise choices. So that's the biggest thing I would say is help spread the word about that. And I don't know if there's a way that we can, you know, connect with folks after to let them know as the book launch comes along, if they want to help. We'll be having, you know, lots of offers and resources for bulk buyers and so forth. And then we just launched Whole Life Club, which is our new membership program. And I'm really excited about that too, for providing ongoing continuity for folks who want support. So members get community, network of several thousand already fellow members. They also get some wisdom, like ongoing resources and wisdom to advance their learning journey. And they also get recipes, delicious new recipes every single week. So that's kind of the gist of it. And I don't know if there's a good way to spread the word about that, but wlc.foodrevolution.org/whole is the website for that. And we're thrilled to be spreading that. We've done a lot of launches where people can jump in and be a part of us for a product, but we've never offered something that's just ongoing where we're just continually part of working with people long-term. And that's a new step, and I'm thrilled about it.
Well, thank you for that. And I think that that's a resource as a practitioner. If you want your clients to be able to get recipes to get them encouraged there. So Will, if you could type that into the chat or just email it to me, I'll make sure that it gets put out. But if you email it into the chat or write it into the chat there, the book site and the club site, they'll pass it on and we'll put it up on a clipboard here and make sure everybody has access to it. It was a little bit hard to hear you. But yeah, I think that follow-up.
Yeah, that's 31dayfoodrevolution.com. 31 is 31.
Okay, get that down, 31dayfoodrevolution.com.
Yeah.
And then the other one was?
WLC, which stands for Whole Life
Club. WLC.
WLC.foodrevolution.org/whole.
Whole, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody get that? Okay. I don't have anything to write
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, it's a mouthful.
Yes, it's a mouthful. It's a mouthful. Okay, cool. And I think it's an exciting resource to be able to share with their clients, right? To say, here's how you get started, or family members who are don't want to listen to us. Unless somebody else, right? Right, totally. Do you have time for a couple of questions? We have time. We have about three minutes. Questions. Who has questions for Ocean? Anyone? Raise your hand. And we need somebody with a mic. Okay, good.
Hello, Ocean. This is Michelle Gamble once again. I recently went on a trip to Japan, and I was really inspired by the fact that in practically every other house, there was a garden. This is inspiring me to actually create a garden of my own, but I know that there's a reality of seeds that are not healthy, and there's also, I believe, heirloom seeds because they have not been genetically modified. Would you be able to talk a little bit about that?
Okay, so genetically modified is one thing, and then healthy is kind of another thing. And number one, kudos to you for planting a garden. I think growing our own food is one of the most revolutionary acts we can take. People who grow food are more likely to eat it. So if you want to encourage a family to eat more vegetables, getting a garden going is a great way to do that. It's also the best way to encourage local self-reliance, self-sufficiency, independence, and you can actually, it's therapeutic and you get tomatoes at the end of the day. As far as GMOs, the major GMO crops right now are corn, soy, canola, cotton, and sugar beets, and alfalfa as well. So apart from that, it's not as big a deal with seeds. They're probably not genetically engineered. But if you can get organic seeds, that's probably good because obviously if you're growing organically, you might as well start with seeds that are also growing organically. It's just makes sense, right? Seeds of Change is a brand that has a lot of good resources. There are others. And seeds are a small expense in the grand scheme of gardening, so you might as well plant thoughtfully. And at the end of the day, what you grow is a lot more important than what the seed was as far as the whole ecosystem. You know, if you're not dumping your stuff with pesticides, it doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot if the seed ever had pesticides on it, because you're not going to get much pesticide exposure if you're growing an organic garden.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Time for one more?
One more. Where's the, who has it?
It's okay. Me.
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
So you just piqued my interest when you said that you want to partner with putting your book in peace and people's practices. So I'm just making an assumption that you're offering wholesale prices on your book. And I guess this could be a seeded a different way, but just curious. I'd like to have your book in my practice.
We're not offering them directly. My publisher is certainly that their wholesale prices are available through book distributors.
Gotcha.
So they're conventional channels. Yeah, my publisher is Grand Central Life and Style, which is part of the Hachette Book Group. Anyway, it's a big New York publisher. So any book distributor should be able to help with that, but you wouldn't get them direct from us. Yeah. Beautiful. I see that we're almost out of time, let me wrap by... Actually, I'd love to share a quote with you from George Bernard Shaw. It's one of my favorites. He said, "This is the true joy in life, to be used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, to be a force of nature instead of a feverish clot of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." He said, "I'm a member of the community, and as a member, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can before I die. Life is no brief candle to me. It's more of a splendid torch, which I want to burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations." So let me just take this moment to thank you for burning your candle or your torch as brightly as you can. and for being a part of a revolution in consciousness around food and health that is truly shifting the course of history. Every step you take, every action you take, every bite you take is a vote. So together, let's vote, not just on election day, but 365 days a year for the health we want and the health that our family, our patients, our communities want and deserve. And I thank you so much for your participation in this revolution. Together, we're changing the course of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Let's give him a big round of applause. And thank you so much. I know how busy you are. I'm so excited for your book. When will it actually ship?
Oh, February 5th is February the publication 5th. Date.
Okay, great. So yeah. We'll go out and pre-order it. Let's give them a flood of pre-orders. Let's get it on the bestseller list right away. All right. Thank you so much again.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Ooh. Oh, that's our back of the room. So we're going to take a break. Wasn't he awesome? I love what they're for. I love what they do. The message, he's such an articulate speaker, and I can't wait for his book. I'm so excited. We're going to come back, be in the room by 3:45 so you can get a little movement in with Michelle for the last time. And then we'll do the last grand prize raffle. And we have surveys. I forgot to mention it yesterday. We had them, and they should have been passed out. I don't know if they were on the seats when they came in. So please fill out your surveys, because we want to know what you liked, what you didn't like, what we could improve, what topics you might want in the future, so that, you know, we can just rock it, right? We want to provide you with what you need and go out and serve people in a very, very big way. So come back. And we'll see you soon. Oh, and wait, before you go, do we have the charity thing to put up again, please? Because I want the people, because some of the NEPT people weren't in the room, so they could see where it was. So I am so, so excited for all of the generosity of everybody here in the room. $12,932 generated for our charity. Give yourselves hands. Wow. Is that amazing? And so if you want to be in the top five, you have to go above 840 if you want to get yourself popped in there. And this is the last time you could do that. And we will post the finals and award the prizes and tell you what to do to get them at the end of the raffle.